Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. We are talking Spread 201 today. We recommend that you check out Spread 101, which will be linked in the description below. In 101, Ian, just to do a tiny little recap, we talked about the formation itself, and then specifically what type of running back works best in that particular offense. And today we're going to transition over to the tight end, the importance the tight end plays in the spread offense. And you do a great job in your article breaking down the historically strong pairings between quarterback and tight end, those that have done traditionally very, very well. But let's talk a little bit about what the word you used, paradox, is. And what you meant by that is the type of tight end that you want in your offense is really dictated by the type of quarterback you have. And I'm wondering if you can explain that a little bit.
Yeah, and it's not even just that. It's that the type of tight end you want is almost the exact opposite you would expect based on the skill set of the quarterback.
Right.
And so what I mean by that is, let's say you have a – so we're assuming you're running a spread offense, which we said was three receivers or more spread out from the formation, the goal being to force defenses to defend the width of the field and prevent them from packing the box with bodies, which actually makes it easier to run the ball inside. Just recapping Spread 101 for everybody. You would think, let's say we have a pocket passer in the spread offense. If I have a pocket passer at quarterback that's not really a runner or dual threat, what sort of tight end would you think would pair best with the pocket passing quarterback?
Well, I think instinctually what you would think there is you would want to give your quarterback as many passing options as possible. So right. you would want him to, and I think this is probably a good example that was used, in those quick short route offenses where they're getting the ball out really, really quickly. I would imagine that your slot and your tight end, that's who you want catching the ball. Is that fair?
Yes, actually. Ideally, your outside guys are weapons too, but
sure,
100%, you want to be able to throw the ball quick and inside, and you want your tight end to be able to serve in the patterns. And then if you have the running quarterback, you would think, what kind of tight end?
Move bodies around.
Yes. In fact, you want the opposite.
Okay.
I mean, if you have a tight end that can block really well and run and catch really well, like Gronkowski.
Sure.
You want that guy.
Every team wants that guy. Everybody wants the multi-tooled athlete. Of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
In reality, if you pay close attention, 90-95% of college tight ends are really only good at one or the other.
Sure. Yeah. I think statistically that makes sense.
They're all the receiving tight ends you've heard of. If I pull up the film, their team is avoiding tough blocking assignments for them like the plague. And the tight ends that get real blocking assignments, like a traditional tight end would, are usually guys you've never heard of because they don't catch the ball that well.
So walk me through that. So we've described, so instinctually you would think you've got a pocket passer, you want to be able to have another weapon. If you've got a dual threat or a running quarterback, you're going to want to have a big body in there that can block. We all agree. Everybody agrees. You just want the freak athlete that can do both. But what you're saying is it's actually the opposite. Why is it the opposite? Why would you want a big body if you've got a passing quarterback?
So let's do some quick math. If you are in a spread set, so you have one tight end, three receivers, and a running back, you're an 11, you have a pocket passing quarterback. When you line up, the defense has maybe three corners on your receivers, two safeties back, and that leaves them six defenders in the box. That's the typical look you get. Sometimes they add somebody, sometimes not. But you have six guys that are right there. And if you want to run the ball, how are you blocking six guys? You have five offensive linemen, LC. Five is one less than six. How do we get to six?
Gosh, I guess you could cheat. Is cheating an option?
Cheating is an option if your quarterback can run.
Great.
Now you just don't block him and you say, quarterback, you decide whether to hand off or not based on what that guy does. But if you have Quinn Ewers or a pocket passer, somebody has to block him. And if you want to run the ball, and you're not going to run it with your quarterback, so the running back can't block him because he has to run the ball. So what happens is when you have the pocket passing quarterback, you get into situations where you are at a deficit of ways to block their front and run the ball unless your tight end is a good blocker. Now, Sark has made do with guys that are decent blockers and good receivers. He'll do all sorts of tricks and play action shenanigans to help them. But when it's third and short, when it's goal line, when you want to run the ball at the end of the game and the defense is crowding up, you have to have somebody block someone. And that's why Sark will play with two tight ends in those situations so that he can solve for that problem. If you don't have that big blocking tight end.
But that makes a lot of sense. So give me an example. Let's make this Texas-centric, right? So obviously last year we had a quarterback that was a little bit more of a pocket passer in Ewers. Let's take now maybe another quarterback that is Texas legend, and let's talk about Vince Young and David Thomas. How did that relationship work together?
Really well. So
yeah,
if your quarterback can account or block one of those defenders with the threat of his legs and the threat of, like, say, an option keeper or whatever, then now your tight end is freed up to be more of a receiver. He doesn't have to, his blocking assignments are going to be a lot easier because usually the defensive end in particular, you can leave unblocked if the quarterback is a runner. So David Thomas was a decent blocker and an outstanding receiver who was absolutely unleashed in the offense when Vince Young was at quarterback. He was one of the five greatest college running quarterbacks of all time.
And this was coming off of a Greg Davis West Coast style, right? So we're talking about timing routes, quick passes, and this, they utilized Vince's legs to essentially make a hybrid offense is almost a way of thinking about it. Is that fair with the RPO?
Yeah. Here's actually another example that's a little more, you can see both sides of it. In 2007, they had a sophomore Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
They had a JerMichael Finley, one of the most
great, yep,
freakishly athletic receiving tight ends
ever.
Yeah. Not a great blocker.
No.
And Jamaal Charles, one of the most freakishly athletic running backs of all time.
Yep.
And they struggled to make that work until late in the year when they said, we have to expose Colt to some hits and we have to run quarterback read plays.
Right.
And once they started doing that, Jamaal Charles went ape
right
on the back half of the schedule and was running for like 200 yards a game. But until they did that, there was no synergy between them. You had Colt McCoy and Finley were great together in the passing game, but Finley and Charles were not great in the running game.
All right. The next thing I want to talk about is what the future is going to look like. So we're doing a spread 201 here. I want to know your opinion on how you think a Jordan Washington Arch Manning relationship is going to go. But before we do that, I want to hear from our sponsor, Andre the Lawyer.
This video is brought to you by Andre the Lawyer. If you're injured, trust the team that secured millions for their clients and helped thousands of Texans with their injury case. Car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, and wrongful deaths. Don't let insurance tell you what your claim is worth. Hire Andre the Lawyer to fight for you. Principal office is in Dallas, but they serve Texans throughout the state. So don't wait and call Andre the Lawyer today at 214-444-8808. That's 214-444-8808. The contact information is in the description.
Okay. We clearly do not have loads of game tape on this. Virtually none. How do you think, let's just profile Arch based on the recipe that you laid out for the ideal tight end and do a little pre-scout on Jordan Washington. How do you feel that this relationship is going to go based on the criteria that you just laid out with a ideal relationship between a quarterback and a tight end.
So Arch, I feel very confident that we have a good grasp of Arch's skill set because we've kind of seen him a lot now. And Arch is a true dual threat in any sense that you could mean. He can actually run the ball between the tackles because he's big and strong. He's quick enough to run to get to the edge on read plays. And he's also probably a better pocket passer than the vast majority of college passers. So you can do anything with Arch. So it almost doesn't matter what Jordan Washington's skill set is. But I guess because Arch can run and you were going to pick, okay, we can pair Arch with anybody. Obviously, we agreed earlier, if you have Gronk, you want Gronk. But if you had to get, if you were going to say, we want a great blocker who's pretty sure he'll catch it if you throw it and hit him in the hands, or we want a great receiver and we're pretty sure he'll block the right guy if we give him an easy assignment, I would take the second guy. I want the receiving tight end with Arch because we're not that worried about the run game. We have all of Sark's usual tricks for helping a receiving tight end like we saw with Jatavion Sanders and Gunnar Helm. And now we also have the quarterback option possibility. So between all those things, we can make the tight end's life a cakewalk.
Is there a blocking game? Is there a modern comp that you can think of that might fit into that with an Arch and an either or type tight end?
An example of a quarterback that made it to where you could choose.
Yeah, a quarterback that basically could do whatever he wanted to, regardless of that tight end.
Trevor Lawrence is Joe's favorite comp for this. And Trevor Lawrence usually had tight ends that were only okay at both.
Right.
It didn't matter. Justin likes to compare Arch to Andrew Luck, which I think is maybe the best comp I've heard yet for Arch. But Andrew Luck played in a Jim Harbaugh offense where Harbaugh was going to have big mauling tight ends and fullbacks regardless of who his quarterback was. So that sort of answers is I don't have an amazing.
Well, I think, but what you're outlining there is when we talked about spread 101 and, you know, the question I asked you was, where does Sark's offense fit into this? And the word you used, which I think is really an appropriate word, is essentially the omnibus, right? He is basically choosing from every available style to execute what he thinks is going to be the most advantageous in a given game. So, and when you have a quarterback like Arch, who, again, he likes to say all the time he hasn't done anything, which is fair enough. But at the same time, we've seen enough to know what his tool set is that gives us at least a confident enough belief that he's going to be able to execute these things that Sark wants him to. Pairing that with a younger, and when I say younger, I mean by way of experience, Jordan Washington, I think that's going to really, really highlight all of the little tips and tricks, especially in the beginning of the season, to kind of protect Arch a little bit as he's getting accustomed to these guys and this speed in a bigger duration of the season. But I'm just curious, one of the big discussions in all this, and this is still going back to spread 101, was about the running backs. And one of the things that this last week, not exactly sure when this is going to air, but we've been talking a lot about that running back room. Whether it's going to be Clark, whether it's going to be CJ Baxter, whether Baby Rhino is going to be the featured back, or whether it's Trey. If you had to choose one of those based on simply the criteria of the spread and understanding that that's not necessarily a direct comp because of the way that Sark likes to use different sets in order to execute it, which one of those running backs would you choose?
I mean,
because again, the criteria got to run through between the tackles.
If I knew he was healthy and had picked everything up, in my opinion, Christian Clark has always been the most talented of those guys. I liked his high school film the most. He reminded me of Bijan Robinson, not just because they both came out of Arizona, but both because they both would make like video game glitch type lateral cuts. And they're both big and strong. That sort of like big, agile, but very tough and willing between the tackles kind of runner is to me the highest ideal for a spread running back. If they have home run power, also great, but being able to threaten multiple gaps up front quickly and get downhill quickly, I think is the most valuable. Gibson definitely has some of that as well. Baxter theoretically has that, but he's tall and has been injury prone. Well, I mean, if we're just saying he's going to be healthy and he's got it figured out,
hypothetical, right?
Then those three are all, they were recruited to Texas for a reason, which is they all profile like that. But yeah, I think I would take Clark number one. And then Wisner actually is, Wisner is very good or solid at just about everything. He's kind of a jack of all trades, which is probably partly why, that's why he's never the guy that we talk about, but he's the guy that actually ended up running for 1,000 yards last year.
Well, it's about trust, right? You know, yeah. I think that is the biggest marker of Sark, is he's got to trust you. And I think he clearly very much trusted Trey. Next time when we get together, we're going to be talking about the other threat on offense in relationship to the quarterback, and that's going to be those receivers, specifically those on the outside, and how they relate to the spread in spread 301. We'll see you then.